Open your Bible, should be somewhere near you, page 1011. And let me pray for us. We're thinking tonight about sight. And so, Lord God, we pray very simply that you would, by the work of your Spirit, open our eyes to see Jesus more clearly. Amen. Do you like complaining? Some of you maybe love it. Do you like complaining when you've received some bad service? Probably none of us like that, but perhaps others, some of us find it more easy than others. When the service is slow, you go to a restaurant, so the service is very slow, or the food isn't quite right, and then in the middle of your meal, the waiter or the waitress comes up to you. They always ask, don't they, how is everything? Do you just say meekly, oh yes, it's all fine? Or do you say, well actually, funny you should ask, here's my list. I don't particularly love complaining. I think one of the hardest places to complain is the barber or the hairdresser. Now you're all looking at my haircut. Yeah. Well, that says a lot, doesn't it, Will? But there you are. You're sat in the chair. You've been there for 20 minutes or however long it takes. I don't know, it takes longer for women to have their hair cut than men, but somewhere, however long you spend. And you've been chatting to the person cutting your hair. And often about, you know, relatively personal details about your life, your family, your holiday, whatever. And then you come to the end. I don't know if they do this in women's haircuts, but they do it with men's. They hold up the mirror at the back and they say, does that look all right? In 43 years of haircuts, it has never once occurred to me to say, well, you know, that's not quite right. Could you do a bit different? I'm just so keen to get out of the chair and off onto the street. So I'd like you to put yourself for a minute in the shoes of the blind man in our reading this evening. So Jesus, the great healer, comes to you. He is famous, growing reputation. There's rumours that he is one of the great ones, a powerful prophet of God. Somebody is saying he's Elijah, returned from the dead, and he takes you aside, and he does something very strange and intimate all at the same time. He spits, and he puts the spit in your blind eyes. He places his hands on you. This is clearly some healing routine. And you can see. You can see. It's a bit blurry. It's not quite as clear as you'd hoped. People are rather indistinct. And Jesus says, do you see anything? What do you say? Do you say, I'm healed! I can see! You can see. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Or do you say, well, it's not quite what I'd expected. It's not as good as I'd hoped. Could you have another go? Well, the blind man is brave enough in the reading this evening to submit his complaint. And Jesus has another go. Verse 25, once more Jesus put his hands, once more, a second time, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And this is a unique miracle in the Gospels. It occurs only in Mark, happening through Mark's Gospel. This term, it's the only occurs in Mark's Gospel, and it is the only miracle that Jesus has to have two goes at. Two stages of healing. You won't find another miracle like this in the Gospels. All the other ones, it works first time. But this, two stages. Two goes. And there's no doubt, all the commentators agree, that Jesus does this miracle this way, and Mark puts it in his Gospel in this place to teach us something. It's here for a reason, to teach us something about spiritual insight, about spiritual illumination, that the miracle, if you like, is also a parable. The healing is a teaching. And Jesus and Mark are teaching us that spiritual insight comes gradually. And especially insight into who Jesus is. And that's why this miracle comes just before Peter's great confession that Jesus is the Messiah. What do you say? Who do you say I am? You are the Messiah, says Peter. Peter and the other disciples, the 12, they spent 2 years, the last 2 years, trying to work out who Jesus is. That question, who is this, is a question that's cropped up through the first half of Mark's Gospel. Remember at the end of the healing of the storm, the calming of the storm? Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And that question in different ways from different people keeps cropping up. Who is this? And gradually, the disciples have come to see this man, a great teacher, even a prophet, a healer, and now he's the Messiah. They come to see that. And yet even now, and if you look in the following verses, and you probably know where this comes in Mark's Gospel, even now, as you read through the following verses, it's really obvious that the way that the disciples see the Messiah is completely at odds with how Jesus sees his role as the Messiah. Just look down, verse 31, straight after we finished, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected. And you remember this, he speaks plainly, Peter takes him aside, he rebukes him, and just after this wonderful moment of Peter seeing, Jesus has to say to him, get behind me, Satan. So the process is still ongoing. There's some way to go. Jesus is revealing slowly who he really is and why he's come. The long, gradual process of stages. Martin Lloyd Jones, some of you have heard of Martin Lloyd Jones, famous Welsh preacher, extraordinary preacher, and he preached a famous sermon on this passage. And the sermon is entitled Men as Trees Walking. That's because in the old authorized version, that's what the blind man says. Jesus says, what do you see? And he says, I see men as trees walking. And Martin Lloyd-Jones points out, what I've already alluded to really, that the courage and the honesty required by the blind man to admit that he didn't see clearly. And he says how easy it would have been, how tempting it would have been to say, I'm healed. I can see, because he could. And run off to a rather blurred life. But he is honest. I can't see properly. And Martin Lloyd-Jones says that we need the same honesty with God. We need to be able to say to God, God, I don't see properly. It's dangerous to pretend that we can see clearly when we can't. To say to God, I don't understand your ways. I do not see your purposes. I do not see Jesus as I want to. We need that honesty. Maybe sometimes we're pressured, perhaps we feel pressured by others into not being honest. Perhaps you're a new Christian here tonight. Perhaps you can remember when you first became a Christian. Perhaps there was a huge pressure from others. You know, hooray, you've become a Christian. You're saved. You see. And there's a kind of pressure to say, yes, I see it all. But do you? It's important to be honest, otherwise we'll spend the whole of our Christian lives disappointed, discouraged. It's not quite what we've been led to expect. Or it can be kind of dangerous because we'll just go blundering around, hugging trees, bumping into things. It's good to have a kind of holy dissatisfaction and the courage to say to God, more please. More please, Lord. Could you have another go? Could you have another go on me? Because if we're honest about where we don't see, where we don't get it, then we can bring that to God in prayer. We can learn to be patient. We can learn to be patient with others, because we're all on this process. Some might be further back. We can learn to be patient with others. We can learn to be patient with ourselves. We can learn to be patient with God. Perhaps we've been too influenced by Paul's model of conversion. Do you know Paul?
Yep.
Damascus Road, the original Damascus Road experience, yep. And there he is, persecutor of the church, and he sees a vision of Jesus. He sees a vision of Jesus on the Damascus Road. He's struck blind. A few days later in faith, his eyes are opened, and there's this dramatic and sudden turnaround in his life. And for some people, that is their experience of conversion. But we should remember, too, Peter's model of conversion. When was Peter converted? It's hard to say. There isn't the moment. There's no Damascus Road. And that is a much more common experience. Gradually coming to think of Peter, gradually coming to see, frequently getting it wrong, even at this climactic moment. You are the Messiah. And then still so far to go, still so much more to see. The Apostle Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 1, this great prayer. He prays for the church at Ephesus that God would give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation. All this comes from God, it's not our own doing. He would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, may be opened, in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you. And it's with these kind of prayers that we can pray for ourselves, we can pray for others, we can be honest where we do not see, we can be patient and wait for and work with this gradual revelation of himself to us. But, in all that I've said so far, I want to be careful not to give you the wrong impression. Because we could take what I've said so far as just stopping at that point. At the point, really, that this side of heaven will always be somewhat in the dark. And we'll never see totally clearly all of God's ways. So we must be careful not to be too dogmatic, not too definite. We must hold our views with humility. And all of that is true. But it would be totally wrong to stop at that point. And especially with this passage in mind. We mustn't stop there, because certainly we'll never understand all of God's ways. But God does want us to see some things very clearly, in this life, now. He wants us to see Jesus. He wants us to see Jesus clearly. To see who Jesus was, to see who Jesus is, to see God's purposes, to see his plan of salvation revealed in Jesus. He wants us to see Jesus very clearly. And so we are to focus clearly and directly upon him. Some of you know that I'm a bit of a bird watcher. It's not particularly cool, but I would love to try and convert you, help you to see, appreciate the world around you, all of those birds flying around you through life. Such a shame to go through life not knowing what they are. I'm a good evangelist for bird watching. Well, I like to think I am. Every bird watcher needs a pair of binoculars. I've got two. A large pair and a small pair. And they're both really good. And when you use your binoculars, if you use binoculars, you'll know that when you put them up to your eyes and you focus, you're seeing a kind of scene in front of you, you've got to decide what to focus on. Because you won't get it all in focus if it's a whole scene, the foreground and the background. You've got to decide which bit to focus on. And of course, you focus on the bird. That's what it's all about. Focus on Jesus. You'll never see everything clearly this side of heaven. Focus on Jesus. That's what Mark's gospel is all about. Mark doesn't set out to answer every question in life. It's not some great philosophical treatise on life, the universe and everything. But it is a book about Jesus. The first half of Mark's gospel zooming in to this point, this climax in Mark chapter 8. Who is Jesus? And it comes to this point where he's declared to be the Messiah. And then the second half, we're going to look at that next term. It's going to be an exciting term next term, because it then zooms out into the question of what does it mean to follow him? For every one of us, what does it mean to follow this Messiah? So you've got the first half zooming in and the second half zooming out, and the hinge, the centre, Mark chapter 8, 27 to 30, where Jesus says, "Who do people say I am?" And that question always makes me smile. Because if anyone else were to ask that question, it wouldn't sound right. If I came up to you at the end of the service, over coffee, and I said, who do people say I am? What are people saying about me? It would reveal some massive insecurity within me. It's having to go around canvassing opinion. What are people saying about me? You know, I want to know. Is that Jesus' problem? Is he insecure? If he lived today, would he be constantly checking his phone to see how many likes he's got? Would he be permanently refreshing to see if there are any more comments on his posts? You know we're all a bit like that, aren't we? Is that Jesus' problem? Or perhaps he's not insecure. Is he just very self-absorbed? Self-obsessed? One of those people who think everything is about them? You know, in conversation, you want to say, it's not all about you. But Jesus isn't. You read through the Gospels, you get to know his character. He is not insecure. He's not self-obsessed. When he asks, who do people say I am? It's because it really is all about him. It really is all about him. And when he asks them, but what about you? Who do you say I am? It's because that is the question. That is the question at the very centre of Mark's gospel. Arguably, that is the most important question you will ever be asked. What about you? Who do you say Jesus is? And so in all of your searching, and we all search, and in all of your struggling, and we all struggle, focus on Jesus. Maybe particularly at the moment you're struggling with faith. Perhaps you've got some intellectual questions, an intellectual struggle. You're exploring the Christian faith, perhaps. There are some big questions you've got about the Bible, about creation, about God, about suffering, all of the big questions. And those questions do matter. Wrestle with them. There are some good answers out there. But you won't answer every one of them perfectly, and only when you've done that, feel ready to believe. Focus on Jesus. It all stands and falls on him. He's the hinge, the center. We can see him clearly. And perhaps you have not intellectual struggles, but personal struggles. Difficulties in your life, or in the life of those that you love, who are close to you. And your question is perhaps just one question, it's just why? Why this? And you must wrestle with that question. And as you do, you will never get a neat answer. And of course you know that, and that's why it makes such a hard question. But in your struggle, don't take your eyes off Jesus. Focus on him. Look to him. We can see Jesus and see God revealed perfectly in him. Not everything there is to know, but everything we need to know revealed perfectly in Jesus Christ. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians. He said that the God of this age has blinded us. We're all blind. We don't see the light of the gospel. But, he says, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in the face of Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts. We pray that you would pour upon each one of us, however long we've been a Christian, wherever we are on that journey of faith, pour upon us your spirit of wisdom and revelation. Help us to see you more clearly. Help us to love you more dearly. Help us to follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen.